Today's spiritual practice that we're going to chat about is prayer. And I know some of you might be thinking like, yes, we get to talk about prayer. I love prayer. I pray all the time. I love coming to church. I love praying for people. You're like fired up. Yes, you're preaching to the choir, girl. Like, say less. I love prayer. Some of you may hear prayer and go, oh no. Like, you already feel that kind of pit in your stomach forming of like, oh gosh, I guess I should pray more. And oh gosh, is she going to make us pray for other people? I think I have something going on during the ministry time. And you're like already forming your escape plan, right? I don't want to feel, you know, a little caught up. So if you feel the voice of shame already starting in your, you know, hearing that little voice in your head, just go ahead and banish that. This is not a shamey message. There's no room for that here. And prayer is something important. So I do hope that you kind of fall in love with it as we learn together this morning. If you've grown up in church, maybe you're familiar with prayer and it's kind of a churchy word you're used to hearing, but, you know, I guess I haven't thought about it too hard in a while. Or maybe you're new to the faith and prayer. Okay, I've again heard that used, but what does that mean? What does that look like? I think, you know, a lot of us grew up maybe thinking, okay, prayer, kind of without thinking about it as a checklist, go through the mental checklist of, okay, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to fold my hands, and I'm just going to talk into the void and hope that God hears me. Or maybe some of us feel a lot of pressure and uncertainty, especially when we pray out loud for other people. It's kind of awkward. Are they going to judge what I'm saying? I'm not like those cool people that have all the right words and their prayers are just this beautiful thing. I kind of don't know what to say when I pray. And so I don't want to pray for other people because what if I mess it up? Like, what if I do it wrong? There's a lot of different, like I said, kind of ways that we view prayer. And I think it's particularly hard to pray right now because we have so many different distractions, so many things all vying for our attention, so many ways that we can kind of like take care of our own needs. And while I don't really need to bring anything to God, it's a really hard time to focus in and pray. We've talked about this a lot, you know, in our solitude thing. It's a really hard time to find solitude. And we need solitude if we're going to have one-on-one time with Jesus through prayer. But we're in this series, we're looking at what Jesus did, we're learning to follow him. And if we look at his example, turns out he went away to pray a lot. That was like a regular rhythm for him. And not only was it a regular rhythm, but there's something really interesting about the way that he prays. So the disciples come up to him at one point as he's praying, and they say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now, they're not like, prayer is this new revolutionary thing. They've never prayed before. They're very used to praying. They've had prayers that they've done their whole life. But there's something different about the way that Jesus is praying. There's something particularly compelling about the way that he's engaging in prayer. So much so that they're looking at him and saying, I want some of that. Whatever it is that you're doing, something's different and I want in. They're noticing something. The way that Jesus was engaging with the Father is this on this whole other level. So I think our prayer today is going to be the same thing that the disciples asked, which is simply, Jesus, teach us to pray. So let's learn a little bit more about praying. We're going to turn to Luke 11 to start. And the very first verse says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And I'm going to pause us right there. He's praying in a certain place. Again, I already mentioned earlier, we have this rhythm of Jesus going away, praying, coming back, and doing incredible things. And like through the kingdom of God, through the Spirit for the kingdom of God. So we see this rhythm, going away, praying. As we jump back in, when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So again, really interesting request here, right? Jesus did all sorts of amazing things. He did miracles. He cast out demons. He performed healing. But they're not saying, hey, Jesus, we want to do that. They're saying, we want to learn how to pray. Teach us to pray. So Jesus is doing this like rhythm of life that's changing his inner life, that's something noticeable and extraordinary. They want what Jesus has got. So Luke 11, he says to them, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, say, Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And do not lead us into temptation. Now, we've, I think, all heard different versions of this. I was using the NET translation. If, like, you've got a problem with that, talk to Marshall. but, like, some of us are familiar with this, right? It's the Lord's Prayer. It's a great prayer to teach. I could actually spend the entire morning just breaking down the different parts of this. And so I encourage you to do that instead as homework. There are so many great messages on the Lord's Prayer specifically and kind of looking at it piece by piece. It's great messages, great devotionals, great articles written about it. So that's your homework. But today I want to focus on the way that Jesus like opens his prayer and then kind of the overall heart of the Lord's Prayer. So a lot of people, not you, of course, but a lot of other people, you know, equate prayer with just asking God for things. Like, when we think about what is prayer, it's going to God with our needs and say, okay, God, here's what I need from you. But if you notice, Jesus doesn't start with an ask. He has an ask. I'm not saying that you can't ask God for things. Don't hear me say that. Like, asking God for things is good. But he doesn't start there. He doesn't get to the ask until like halfway through the prayer. The entire first half of the prayer instead, so we're going to call this morning orientation. He's orienting his heart towards God. That very first line, our Father. Abba. Maybe Father is, you know, a little too. We've been joking around with Kelsey's babies where we're like teaching them to say like Mama and Dada, but it's like, can you say Mama? And then it's, can you say Father? Like, because we really want Mama first, right? So, like, some of us don't really resonate with like Father. It's not this engaging word. So, replace it with whatever you would call like a father you have a closely relationship with. Papa, dad, right? Replace that. So this in Jesus' time was like a revolutionary way to pray. If we look throughout the Old Testament, like people don't start prayers with, hey, dad, father, Abba. And it may not feel super revolutionary to us now, today, because maybe, again, we've grown up hearing people talk about God as a father. But I would encourage you to kind of like think about it a little bit deeper. Reconnect with it, not just as something that, oh, yeah, I've heard that. But what does it mean when we call God dad, father, Abba? It reveals a little something deeper there, right? Reveals a deeper connection, a deeper relationship. And I think one of the things Jesus is pointing out is that the way we view God, the way we address him, is going to make or break our prayer life. Oh, almighty ruler. Is he an almighty ruler? Yeah. But if we approach him that way, is it going to change the way that we pray? You know, oh, a gracious God, also a very true thing. Is it going to change the way we pray? Yeah. Dad, it's going to change the way that we pray. For many of us, our journey into a deeper life of prayer must begin with healing of like false images that we have about God. A person that's just up there ready to smite me is going to change the way we pray, right? If you think of God as some angry tyrant in the sky, mad at you, mad at the world, waiting to like lay into you the moment you start praying, you're not going to be drawn to prayer. I don't really want to pray to someone that I think is like angry at me. But if you think about God as your father, again, it's a whole nother story. We do this thing in our family where every Sunday night we go and we get dinner with my dad. And it is funny, like sitting at the table, we've kind of developed this habit of, okay, what's gone on throughout the week? What can I tell my dad about? And I like notice things during the week of, oh my gosh, this is going to make a great story for our Sunday night dinner. I can't wait to go and tell my dad about this. I can't wait to go and tell my brother about this. I can't wait to tell like my family about the stuff that's happening in my life. So the first thing Jesus has to teach us about prayer is that the God we come before has a welcoming and good, welcoming heart and good intentions towards us. We can look forward to coming to him the same way I look forward to going and talking to my dad about the stuff that's going on for the week. He is a compassionate God. He wants to hear from you. And when we address and heal the way we view God, it paves the way for a new type of prayer. And some of us need to heal. Some of us don't have good relationships with a father figure in our life. Like, that's going to shift and inform the way that we respond to God when we pray to him as our father. But the way we engage in healing is going to change the way we view God. And this change is going to subtly shift prayer from a thing of performance to a thing of relationship and connection. Because if we're viewing God maybe through, like I said, our very real lens of the world and our experience of our fathers, or we need to change the way we think about God and his compassion towards us, if we're coming to him with, oh, I'm going to be judged, then we're going to come to him with a, you know, kind of polished exterior. We're not going to be super authentic in the way we're showing up. If we view him as compassionate, it's going to shift to relationship. C.S. Lewis says, we must lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us. Read that again, because it's a great quote. We must lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us. So prayer isn't pretending. It's not saying the right words, having that magic combination. It's not keeping parts of you hidden because I can only bring this part of me before God. And I would suggest if you struggle to pray, if you're like, prayer feels so boring, I don't really like this, maybe you aren't showing up as your fully authentic self before God. Because when we are fully authentic and we let God have everything that's going on in our hearts, it's a lot more engaging. If you're worried about, you know, showing up with this rawness, showing up with anger, showing up with sorrow, I encourage you, again, more homework, to go spend some time in the Psalms. Because they, have you guys read the Psalms? They are raw. There are some things that I read and I'm like, David, you did not just say that. Like, you can't say that to God. Oh my gosh. Like, they are wild. But it's such a good way for us to engage and see this rawness, this vulnerability, this authenticity. They're a great place to start. I'll talk about that a little bit later of like, sometimes we need little help coming up with words. And there are a lot of great Psalms you can pray about. There's different kinds of prayer. So like in the Psalms, we see a lot of Psalms about lament. So we can talk to God about what's hard in our life, the things that are really difficult. So we can have prayers of lament. We can talk to God about the good stuff going in on our life, right? And I'd encourage you to start that way. Start with prayers of gratitude. We can also ask God for help. Again, it's okay to ask for help. We don't want it to be the only thing. It's okay to ask for help for yourself and others. So that's petition and intercession. Petition, Lord, I need something. I need you. Intercession, Lord, would you help this other person and what's going on in their life? So this is a relational prayer, right? I encourage you, as we think about building relationships, to kind of think about other relationships going on around you. We want to express gratitude to God. I think it's really important that in a relationship, even with each other, we kind of have all these different pieces, right? Because if your only interaction of me is lament, you're going to be like, I don't really know that I want to go spend some time with Eeyore right now. Like, I kind of want to stay happy, and Marissa's kind of a bummer, and I don't have enough energy for that. Or it's hard to form relationships when, like, somebody only shows up when they need something from you. It's hard to get a little bit deeper if it's like, okay, you're here, like, what do you need from me, right? And of course, we have these different relationships with each other. We also have different relationships with God. So we can consider God as a friend. And it's important to have this balance of gratitude because he is a really good God worthy of our worship. It's okay to come to him with our laments and sorrows. God is also, like, we call him dad. The relationship between a kid and their parent is going to be very different. It is okay for kids to come with a lot of needs. Your kids are going to be very needy to parent, and that's okay. That's their job. Like, they're supposed to show up and need things. So we can relate to God in these different ways. As a friend, coming with gratitude. And again, I'm not trying to discourage you from coming to him with needs. That's okay. We also want to explore these other relationships. So how do you feel comfortable relating to God? Is this parent dynamic one you're like, I've got down. I see him as a wonderful provider. I can come to him with my needs. Does that feel really foreign? Like, ooh, I don't want to bother God. I can't ask for what I need because then I might be disappointed. And it feels really uncomfortable to see him that way. Does it feel weird to call God your friend? You're like, I don't know. That's a little too buddy-buddy for God. Like, feels a little awkward. And is that something you can lean into? So I encourage you to think about and engage in prayer through these different relational dynamics. Now, I'm talking about, you know, how we relate to others. We can learn some things and relate to God that way and vice versa. There's another important piece about our everyday relationships that affects prayer. If I showed up and just talked at you for our entire time together and didn't really let you get in a word edgewise, it kind of be hard to have a relationship, right? You're like, I don't know that I have the energy for Marissa and just to listen to her go on and on. Listening is a very important part of prayer. We think about prayer being, I'm going to talk to God. We're actually talking with him. We want to listen to what he says to us as well. Jesus promises that his sheep know his voice. Are we listening? So this is in John 10. He says, I tell you the solemn truth. The one who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own sheep out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. Do you know the shepherd's voice?
Yeah.
Are you able to recognize his voice? Particularly in the mix of all the other voices we hear. We hear voices from our family of origin. We hear voices from our culture. We hear voices from our friends. We hear voices from the enemy. Are we able to pick out his voice among the midst of the chatter? This can take time, and it takes practice to recognize his voice. And I know when I say practice, it's like, ugh, like I want to be good at something right away, right? But practice doesn't have to be a boring thing. I think back to like when Marshall and I first started dating, and there would be nights where we would like sit in the car for way too late because I just kept asking him stories. I love listening to Marshall tell me stories about like when he had his pilot's license and would fly and do crazy things. And I'm like, whoa, wait, pause, rewind. There's more to that story. Like, I want to hear it. I want to know it. I love listening to him talk. I love listening to how his day went and the stories he has. He's a pretty cool guy. I love hearing Amanda tell the hot fudge story that I make her tell all the time, constantly. Like, you have things where you love hearing the sound of their voice. I love being able to pick John out of a mix of, like, a large crowd because it's normally a pun followed by groans and laughter, right? Like, I know the sound of his voice. There you go. Yeah. So as you spend time with people, you begin to know their voice. And it doesn't have to be a dreadful thing. Are you spending time with God? Are you learning what his voice sounds like? So how do we hear God? There's no like one size fits all perfect way to discern his voice. Because God comes to us each in like our own context, our own life, personality, background, stages of life. In fact, I would even say that a lot of you probably already hear from God way more than you realize. But like young Samuel in the temple, you may not recognize it as God yet. So a couple just real quick ways that we can hear God, and we'll talk about this more in our We've got a message on discernment, but we can hear God speak through Jesus himself. In Hebrews, it says, after God spoke long ago in various portions and in various ways to our ancestors through the prophets, in these last days, he has spoken to us in a son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he created the world. The son is the radiance of his glory. And I just clicked away. Oh my goodness. Radiance of his glory and the representation of his essence, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. And so when he had accomplished cleansing for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We can hear through Jesus. Jesus is often called the word. And I think when we think of the word, we think of like the Bible. But Jesus is the word. So many things point to Jesus, to his gospel, to the good news, the kingdom coming. That said, like Jesus is the word, but we can also hear through scripture. There are all sorts of ways to approach scripture. But one we are familiar with in our church, because we do it as a spiritual practice, is Lectio Divina, which is a divine reading, a spiritual reading. This is where we sit with a passage, we read it slowly, and we ask God to speak to us through his word. This is different from a Bible study. Again, not saying anything bad against Bible studies. Bible studies are great. But in a Bible study, you know, we're asking, what did this text mean to them then, and how do we apply it to our life now? Lectio Divina asks, how is God coming to me personally through this text? There's a place for both of these things. Of course, we have to be careful. We don't want to manipulate the Bible. We don't want to allow the deceiver to manipulate the Bible like he did with Jesus in the desert. We're not asking for like a brand new meaning to his word. We're not trying to come up with something that doesn't exist in the history of the church, right? But we're asking for what aspect of the original meaning the Holy Spirit is wanting to directly impress in our own life. So not changing it, but God, what does this thing that already means something mean to me here and now? We hear God's voice through the Spirit's whisper. This is often gentle impressions, peace, sometimes conviction. We sometimes think, oh, this can't be God because it's just a voice I heard in my head. Like, I don't know. Is that just my brain talking at me, right? But your head is where thoughts are formed, emotions created, ideas born. So all of this is in our head in a life like that God has created for us. Now the Spirit is in us. He's going to speak through our thoughts. He's going to speak through our mind within us. And of course, these things all need to be tested against, you know, if we're hearing something, we can test it against Scripture. We can test it against what other people have taught. Again, we'll talk more about discernment later. I want to continue reading John 10 for just a moment. It says, "They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him, because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again, 'I tell you the solemn truth. I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and may have it abundantly.'" So again, we'll talk about discernment more later, but as you're learning to hear God's voice, one really easy way to listen is this the voice of abundant life? Is this the voice that's kind, compassionate, has good things? Or is this a voice that's tearing me down, full of shame, that's here to steal, kill, and destroy? God's tone of voice is going to be very different from that of the enemy. His is full of compassion. The enemy is full of shame. The last way we can hear God's voice is through community. So we can listen and ask other people to pray for us, say, "Hey, what are you hearing from God? Like, I'm having trouble discerning." So we can hear God's voice through prophetic words, through words of encouragement. And a quick side note, there is a difference. Like, we've talked a lot about how do we hear God's voice. But we not only want to hear him and learn to hear, but we also want to listen to God's voice. I don't know if you've ever talked to someone, had a conversation, and you're like, "You are hearing what I'm saying, but you are not listening to me. Like, you are somewhere else mentally." Like, you could repeat the words back to me, but wow, that, like, you are not here with me in this moment. And so we want to learn to hear God's voice, but we also want to listen to him. Just like Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, we want to slow down, listen. Not listen to get our next marching orders. "Okay, God, I just need an answer to this thing. Can you just do this thing for me?" But instead, listen to create this deeper sense of intimacy, understanding, and connection. We listen to do what he directs us to do. We don't listen as a way of manipulating God or getting what we want. We don't listen as a, like, a scale we need to balance. "Okay, I've listened for this many minutes, so now you owe me this thing," right? We don't do that. We instead listen as a way of surrendering our will to God, our will to his will, aligning our hearts with his heart. Jesus teaches that God already knows our needs. So we don't have to pray to inform him about our exact needs and what's going on, but to align our hearts with his will. Listening to God is how we partner with the Spirit to bring heaven to earth. We listen to love, like I said, not just to act and get our marching orders. Prayer is a way that we can ask God to act and do things that only he can do in the world. And it's also a way of giving God the space to do what only he can do in us, in our hearts. So great. Prayer sounds awesome. Hopefully you're like, maybe this prayer thing is important. But how? How do we do this? A couple quick just starter tips on like either getting started or deepening your prayer life, one thing we can do is we can start with pre-made prayers. If you think about like kids learning handwriting, like often they'll trace over letters to learn how to make them. That's kind of what we're doing. We're like learning the shape of prayer. We're praying something that someone's already constructed as a way to learn. And we can pray it. Like I said, sometimes we don't have the right words. And this kind of helps us get connected. So a few examples of pre-made prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as we already talked about, the Psalms, right? They're sometimes called the prayer book of the Bible. Because most of them were designed not just to be read, but to be prayed. We can pray scripture itself. We can pray and remind God to fulfill the promises he made. Here's an interesting one. We can pray through singing and our worship. We don't often think of like modern worship music as a liturgical like piece, but it totally is. It's a pre-written prayer that we're all praying communally together to God. And then we've got liturgy in the more kind of historic streams of the church. We've got the Book of Common Prayer, which we'll often do as a spiritual practice, liturgy of the hours. Of course, we don't have to fight against the world. We can also use our phones for a good thing. We can use them for apps that step us through prayers. So this prayer is very helpful in a number of situations. Again, when you're first learning, it can teach you how to pray. But these pre-made prayers are also helpful when you're exhausted and you can't focus your mind very well. So maybe you have like a newborn baby or you just didn't sleep well the night before. Things are happening in your family. It's a demanding work season. School and work is going nuts. Maybe you're a caregiver grieving. So these prayers can be just kind of take the weight off and help us just engage with God. Another tip is to start small and simple. 2 minutes of quiet stillness before God. Just 2 minutes out of your life. What would that look like? It can be a very simple prayer. It can just start with, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord." Just seeing what he does. Another thing that's helpful for praying is removing distractions. Again, it is so easy to keep our phone near us and then that notification that pops up and, oh gosh, yeah, I forgot to order this thing. Right? Remove distractions. Jesus often, what did he do? Retreated. He got away to pray. He removed distractions. Another tip, keep showing up. Show up with whatever it is that you got. Bring your tiredness, bring your joy, bring your sorrow, bring your passion. You don't have to pray perfectly. Just keep showing up. And scripture, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how we should pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saints according to God's will. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. But if we show up, the Spirit intercedes for us. He speaks up for us. And I think another aspect of this is that like what we do in private shows up in public. The more that we practice a private prayer life, the more comfortable it'll be for you to pray to someone. Because like, you know, I find it's easier to talk to someone new when I've got someone I know pretty well with me. Same thing happens when you're praying with someone. Maybe you don't know the person you're praying for super well. You know God pretty well. You know how to talk to him. So just show up. Just pray. There's a very brief acronym. This is DSA. So D is, this kind of is based off of the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to declare God's greatness. In a prayer, begin with worship. Our Father in heaven, honored is your name. Adoration reorients us to who God is. We want to offer him our praise. Then S, surrender your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Again, we're not trying to manipulate God. We're not trying to change his mind. We're trying to align our hearts with his, handing God control of our plans. A, for acknowledge dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. What are your daily needs? Dependence reminds us that we're not self-sufficient, that we live by his grace. And then kind of this idea of acknowledging our dependence on him, I would encourage you, if you struggle with prayer, particularly prayer with other people, to take a look at what's happening in your ego. God is inviting you to participate in the kingdom. He doesn't need you. He can do stuff. Sometimes he just kind of blasts through and does awesome stuff. What if God wants to partner with you? What if he has a word for somebody that you can speak because you've heard his voice? So evaluate where those places are keeping you stuck. Like, I care more about what other people think because maybe I got it wrong or maybe I'll sound silly. Is that keeping you stuck from engaging in what God's inviting you to do? Also with that, I want to extend an invitation to join our prayer team. We're going to reform a prayer team here. So we've got cards out in the lobby. If you just want to put your name and a phone number down, we'll add you to our prayer team. And then as things come up in our community, we can text in and say, hey, this is going on in my life. I would love prayer. And we can all pray together. And then last tip, I don't know if you've like ever struggled to connect with somebody. You're having a really hard time making any progress. You're like, how's the weather? You know, it's kind of dry. And then you find that one weird niche connection that you're both on the same page about, whether it's a sports team or music or a movie you both love, right? And that just like unlocks something. And you're able to communicate and have this deeper connection. And suddenly you're friends, even though you didn't know this person, but you have this like shared interest that brings you closer together. What are your shared interests with God? Do you share something with him that gets you fired up, that gets you excited? And if not, maybe that's an invitation to, again, reorient your heart. To say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to get excited about the things you're excited about. I want to love the things that you love. I want to hate the things that you hate. Mold me like you. Do we share God's love? As I wrap up today, would you guys like a secret, foolproof way to have 100% success in prayer? Pretty good, right? 100% success, prayer? I want that. I want to be like, yes. I think we need to closely examine what we consider success to be. Is success in prayer having our prayer answered? A success in prayer, praying and then feeling something. What is success? Is success simply showing up and spending time with Jesus? I wonder what would happen if we kind of re-looked at prayer, right? And saw it as something beyond words and requests. And instead, a way of just being with God. Jesus modeled this, often retreating to lonely places just to be with his Father. So maybe we need to shift our goal of prayer from getting something out of it to union and surrender to God and his presence. Because his presence is where love transforms us. It's where anxiety gives way to peace. It's where striving gives way to rest. When we just sit with God, no agenda, no performance, we begin to experience his affection for us. And in him, our souls are renewed. So again, the reward isn't necessarily answered requests, but peace and a deeper relationship with God. It's the heart of spiritual formation. In 2 Corinthians, we see, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, which is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Prayer is not about changing God, but about letting God change us. Another way to look at this, further down in 2 Corinthians, it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love this passage. What a great passage. Nothing can separate us. And then you also read it and go, wait a minute. This isn't saying that there won't be depth or times of like powers against us. It's not saying that we're not going to encounter hard things, which I don't know. I liked reading it the other way better, where it's like, we'll have great things all the time. But in the midst of the highs and lows, nothing can separate us from his love. He will be with us in the midst of every single thing that we encounter. God is always present with us. In the very air that we breathe, we are never separated. Again, it doesn't mean we'll escape hardship. It doesn't mean we'll always hear the answer. But he is with us, and he has his love for us, and he is transforming us in the midst of it. Going to break into ministry time. I don't know if you want to play some sweet keys in the background. You know, one of the really cool things about being in a smaller church is that we know each other. Like, I hope that during the break you got to say hi to somebody and chat with them. So I encourage you to gather in groups of at least three. And we're just going to very briefly share with each other. I'm talking brief. Like, we don't need to give our whole life story. Keep it to 30 seconds to a minute. Here's what God's doing in my life. And then we're going to take turns going around the circle and praying for each other. I know. I believe in you. You can totally do this. And again, we can keep it simple. It can simply be, God, bless this person. Or, God, would you show them your love? You don't have to have all the right words. There's no magic thing. But I ask that you be bold and pray with each other.